Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Tomorrow is a WRAL weather alert day due to the potential for flooding. I'll show you how much rain we could see and when it will start where you are.
Wake County deputies are mourning the death of their longest serving canine officer. We're live with what we've learned about the circumstances surrounding how the officer was killed.
Plus, whether you're flying to your holiday destination or driving to it, be prepared for long lines and heavy traffic. We're keeping up with travel times here on WRAL.
And tomorrow is a WRAL weather alert day due to our chance of flooding. It'll also be windy and chilly, kind of raw out there. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at what time the rain will arrive where you are and how long it lasts through the holiday weekend.
We're going to see it first thing tomorrow morning. We're going to walk through that with Futurecast in just a second. It's going to be windy and wet and chilly, 30 to 35 mile per hour wind gusts. We have that flooding threat, and it's going to be well below normal. Temperatures in the upper 50s to low 60s for highs, and that's about 20 to 25 degrees below normal for this time of year. Right here in the yellow, this is our medium flood risk. This is where we could see as much as 2 inches of rain. In our northern counties, it's likely to be around an inch and a half, so flooding's a little bit more likely in our southern counties. Right now, we're looking at a lot of cloud cover. The wind is beginning to pick up already. The clouds will continue to thicken up on through the rest of the afternoon and tonight, and that rain rolls in early tomorrow. You see the yellow and orange color contours. A lot of times when we see this, it's an indication of severe thunderstorms. That is not what we're going to see. This is going to be like a winter feeling kind of rain. It's going to be chilly, it's going to be breezy, and it's going to be very wet. We'll have waves of rain that come through all day and all night. Finally, by Sunday morning, we begin to see the chances for rain backing off a little bit. We are seeing a fairly dry Sunday on this version of Futurecast. We do have some other models that continue to show at least some showers for Sunday. So I dropped it a little bit to 60% chance on Sunday. I still think we're going to see some scattered showers. And certainly, it's going to be nearly an all-day rain on Saturday. Saturday and chilly. Monday, we'll have even a lesser chance potentially of some scattered showers. And so we'll take a closer look at Sunday and Monday and talk about the wind speeds and the exact rainfall amounts we could see coming up.
Kind of a wild ride towards the end of the month. All right, Elizabeth, thank you.
In the last 30 minutes, we've learned new information about a Wake County canine that was accidentally shot and killed by a Knightdale police officer. This happened during a search for a man who ran from a traffic stop. WRAL's Destiny Patterson is near the scene with what she's learned about the officer involved and the suspect that originally prompted the search. Destiny.
Well, Renee, we know that it was a Knightdale police officer who accidentally shot and killed K-9 Santos early this morning. I actually just talked to the police chief here just within the last 30 minutes, and he tells me that officer is currently not on duty and is on leave while they investigate. Now, where we are here is not too far from where that incident happened. The Wake County Sheriff's Office tells us it was near the Carrington Woods subdivision. The Knightdale police chief tells me officers were doing a traffic stop for expired registration and no insurance when a passenger in the car ran from the scene. We've learned that suspect was Rayvon Williams. The Wake County canine and his handler came to try and track Williams, and at some point, a Knightdale police officer's gun went off, and that canine was shot and killed.
The dog has been shot. Repeat, dog is shot. Handler's okay. Knightdale officer's okay.
The police chief also tells me Williams was charged and faces multiple charges, including resisting arrest. We're also working to learn that officer's identity, and the police chief tells me that information will be released at a later time. We're also expected to talk to the Wake County Sheriff later this afternoon in just a couple of hours.
Such a sad situation. Heavy hearts at the Wake County Sheriff's Office and the Knightdale Police Department. Destiny, thanks.
We're following a developing story out of Durham, where sheriff's deputies have just given the all clear after a bomb threat at the Durham County Courthouse. The sheriff's office says the threat was made in a 911 call around 9:30 this morning. The building was evacuated and an explosives canine is searching that building. And we have a sad update to a story we have been following for you here on WRAL. Deputies say a mother who left her child at a store in Halifax County and then got into a serious crash has died. This happened in Halifax County near Roanoke Rapids just after 6 last night. Witnesses say the mother left her child at the Family Dollar on NC 48. The crash happened nearby on Lonnie Green Road. The child is safe with family, but the woman's name has not been released.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, Memorial Day travel is going to be busier than ever this year. This is a live look at RDU right now. The airport expects an increase of almost 20% over last year. They say more than 255,000 travelers are expected between today and Tuesday. Friday today and Monday will be the busiest days for the airport. Officials say definitely plan ahead if you are flying. I want to quickly show you this. This is the parking situation at RDU. Some lots are almost 100% full. So this is definitely something you want to keep in mind if you are traveling this holiday weekend.
Expect heavy traffic on the roads starting today as people take off for their Memorial Day weekend destinations. You can see you'll have a lot of company on the roads. WREL's Nye Harden reports on what will be the busiest time on the road and what you can expect to pay at the pump.
Well, at the gas pumps, you can expect people to be out filling up their tanks as they're likely getting ready to head out today. More people are traveling this weekend, and most of them will be on the road. AAA reporting this morning the average price of gas in the state is $3.30 per gallon. Now, if you are driving today, AAA suggests leaving in the morning before noon or any time after 6 o'clock tonight. The worst time to be on the road is going to be this afternoon between 3 and 6. While there will be a record high of people traveling, Gas Buddies says you shouldn't see a surge in gas prices. Drivers are cutting back and will spend $1.6 billion less on gasoline compared to this time last year.
Gas prices tend to peak not in the summer driving season, but before the summer driving season. So if it's a normal year, gas prices shouldn't get back up to the levels that we saw in April. That's the good news. Of course, as we progress now, we're on the cusp of hurricane season starting. Hurricane season can have an impact on gas prices.
And if you're looking for the lowest gas prices where you are, you can go to the WREL News app, search the words fuel tracker. We'll have that for you there. Nye Harden, WREL News in Garner.
New at noon, we're learning more about VinFast's decision to recall about 1,000 vehicles that were shipped to the U.S. VinFast is the Vietnam-based company building a manufacturing facility in Chatham County. WRL's Ken Smith is here with what this means for the multi-billion dollar project, Ken.
You know, Jeff, what we're hearing from our economic development experts is the effect of will be less on the manufacturing facility in Chatham County moving forward and more on VinFast fighting an image problem here in the U.S. Now, it should be noted, VinFast initiated this recall after discovering a software glitch in the vehicles. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, the glitch caused a blank screen in the VF8 model EVs that display safety information. The agency says the problem may increase the risk of a crash. Now, this setback could signal VinFast could struggle to gain traction in the EV market here in North Carolina and across the country.
They've received a wide variety of scathing reviews of the qualities of the vehicle. So that's going to be a real hurdle to overcome. Car buyers are a very sharing community, and once the word gets out that there's a problem with the vehicle, it spreads like wildfire.
Well, Smith says the company has already sold about 200 of these vehicles here in the U.S. That leaves around 700 vehicles that will have to be shipped back to Vietnam to correct that software glitch. So while the company is ramping up manufacturing overseas, it's running into one hurdle after another here in the U.S. Of course, we'll keep you posted on how the company plans to rebound from this recall.
And all this before there's a building up on that site. All right, Ken, thanks for that. It's Friday, last day of trading before the holiday weekend. Let's take a look at stocks right now. You see where the Dow Jones Industrial Average is. It is up 300 points right now on this Friday. This is coming off of the news, of course, that investors will believe that Wall Street has a chance to see the debt ceiling deal reached. And as we look at NASDAQ, that is up 248 points this noon. S&P 500 is up 40 right now.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we're following some breaking news out of South Carolina. A judge put a temporary halt to South Carolina's new law banning most abortions around 6 weeks of pregnancy. We announced this yesterday in the Live Center at noon that this was set to go forward. But now this judge is banning it. He said until the state Supreme Court can review, he is putting a halt to it. The ruling came 24 hours after Governor Henry McMaster signed the bill. The decision means that South Carolina will now revert back to the ban, which is at about 20 weeks of pregnancy. Most abortions after 12 weeks of pregnancy will be banned here in North Carolina. That is beginning on July 1st. Now to a story we've been following all morning. An 81-year-old woman is dead after a house fire in Franklin County. This happened on Harris Way near the town of Franklinton. WRL's Keenan Willard reports on what firefighters encountered when they arrived at the home.
The Franklin County Sheriff's Office tells us 81-year-old Bertha Crudup died after being trapped in this home in Franklinton after it became engulfed in flames. The Sheriff's Office tells us they were called out here just before 10 o'clock last night, found flames coming out from the windows and doors of this home. They were able to kick through the front of the home and found Crudup lying on the floor, unable to walk with severe injuries. They say that they dragged her out of the home and tried to perform CPR, but unfortunately the woman died from her injuries. A small dog that was also trapped inside also died from burn injuries. Now at this point, they say that no foul play is suspected. They don't believe this fire was in any way intentionally set, but fire investigators are continuing to work to determine how exactly the fire started inside of this home. We did speak with a few of Crudup's relatives who were here on the scene. They declined to speak with us about this situation. Keenan Willard, WREL News.
Now to South Korea, where a man is in police custody after opening an emergency exit door as the airplane was landing. Another passenger took this video inside the Asiana airplane, showing the wind rushing inside the aircraft. An airline spokesman says the plane was about 650 feet in the air when a male passenger sitting near the door opened a cover and pulled the lever. No one was seriously hurt, but nine people were taken to the hospital for breathing issues.
Next at noon, you've heard of Amber Alerts. Well, now the Justice Department wants to expand the search for those who are missing. We'll tell you the focus of a new plan.
Also, an attorney is sentenced to jail for spitting on a Black Lives Matter protester. Why she wasn't able to choose the probation offered to her.
Plus, no debt deal yet. At 12:30, we explore the option President Biden has that's never been done before.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
A push by lawmakers in at least 10 states to fill worker shortages with children has child welfare advocates concerned. The efforts to significantly roll back labor rules are largely led by Republican lawmakers to address worker shortage. Under the measure, children as young as 14 could work in more hazardous jobs, work later on school nights, and even serve alcohol in bars and restaurants. There's a renewed search for two missing Raleigh teenagers. Police posted these pictures of Zakaria Hodge and Hannah Harbor Brown as part of National Missing Children's Day. Authorities say Hodge was last seen early this month in the Raleigh area. She is 16. Harbor Brown disappeared August 2021. She is now 16 years old as well. Anyone with information on these two girls or any other missing children, you're asked to call the number on your screen.
And Renee, this afternoon, the Department of Justice commemorates National Missing Children's Day. The term Amber Alert is named after Amber Hagerman, a 9-year-old girl kidnapped and murdered in 1996. Now one state is expanding the popular tool to help bring missing Black women and children home. Zinli Essamois explains why we need Ebony Alerts.
This is exactly the way she had it. I haven't changed anything.
Why haven't you changed it?
Not ready.
Kenitha Taylor's daughter, Kaya, hasn't been in this room for over 3 years. The then 28-year-old, missing since February 2020. Her black Toyota was found running nearby these train tracks in Plant City, Florida. Today, no arrests and Kaya nowhere to be found.
Kaya is a woman of color.
Do you think things would be different if Kaya was white?
Yes, unfortunately, yes.
Black women and girls make up nearly 35% of missing women reports of all ages, but just about 6% of the population, according to government data. In response to this trend, there's a new proposal called the Ebony Alert, a public notification specific to missing black children and women in the state.
It speaks to the disparities that still exist, not only in California, but across the nation when it comes to race.
State Senator Stephen Bradford hopes Ebony will mirror Amber Alerts, America's missing broadcast emergency response.
A 7-year-old Dallas boy is missing.
The program broadcasts alerts on highway signs, radio, television, and wireless devices when a child 17 years and under is missing, abducted, or in imminent danger. The Ebony Alert includes notifications for black 12 to 25-year-olds who go missing or are deemed abducted, victims of human trafficking, physically endangered, or runaways. At 28, Kaya Taylor would have been ineligible for an Ebony Alert. Her mother, pleased with the new proposal, but believes it should go further with a cutoff age of at least 30 years old.
I've always referred to Amber Alert as crime control theater.
Timothy Griffin studied nearly 500 Amber Alerts from 2012 to 2015, finding the most significant variable in missing children's cases was the abductor's relationship to the victim, not the Amber Alert itself. His recommendation is a standard normal law enforcement investigation.
The DOJ declined to comment on the pending Ebony Alert legislation.
But Bradford believes his Ebony effort remains worthwhile.
It's better than not doing anything at all.
As for Kaya Taylor, her case is still open.
How are you and your family coping?
Well, we've all had to move on in a sense, but we've stayed strong.
Kanitha, hoping all missing women and people of color get the attention they need to come home.
It was Zinli Essamois reporting. The latest figures from 2021 show that more than 520,000 people were reported missing in the U.S. 40% of those cases were people of color. 38% were black. That's double the U.S. black population of 14%.
One of Alec Murdoch's lawyers pleaded guilty to helping him steal money from his late housekeeper's estate. Corey Fleming could get up to 5 years in jail. The deal came in exchange for a lighter sentence and avoided serving time in a state prison. The housekeeper's estate settled the claims with Murdoch's insurance companies for more than $4 million. A judge sentenced a Wisconsin attorney to 60 days in jail after she was convicted for spitting on a 17-year-old's face. It happened during a Black Lives Matter protest in 2020. Stephanie Rapkin could have chosen 1 year probation and 100 days community service, but says nobody wanted her to volunteer with them. A judge says Rapkin lied on the stand about the assault.
Virgin Galactic's final test flight to space lifted off today in New Mexico. The Unity 25 flight carried a crew of Galactic's members into suborbital space. The mission is to fly more than 50 miles above the Earth, which by some standards is high enough to reach space. The Richard Branson space flight made its first trip in July of 2021. Future commercial flights could cost $450,000 per person. One of the most exciting Sundays in racing is this weekend. Catch the Indy 500 right here on WRAL. It begins at 12:30. And then catch the Coca-Cola 600 from Charlotte. That is on Fox 50 at 6 o'clock. And quite a long race. Any type of weather delay would keep them from running that.
It will be a good weekend to stay indoors, watch some TV. Elizabeth, typically Memorial Day weekend is hot and humid. Instead, we're getting cold and wet and risk for flooding.
Yeah, this is highly unusual. Our high temperature tomorrow is likely to be 20 to 25 degrees colder than normal. So, yeah, it's not the normal. And it's not what people typically hope for. You know, this is the holiday where people like to head to the pool, to the beach, the lake. And boy, it's not going to be good weather for that on Saturday. We may have some improving conditions on through the weekend, but it still doesn't look like we're going to reach the 80s by any means. So we do have the flooding risks for tomorrow. That's why we have our WRAL weather alert day. The yellow area is where we have a medium risk for flooding, where we could see as much as 2 inches or more of rain. And then the green area is going to be closer to maybe an inch and a half. We take a look at satellite and radar. This is our big picture. Our low is going to be moving up the coast. Because it's a coastal low, it'll actually have the biggest impacts along the coast. That's where we'll have high rip current danger, 4 to 6 inches of rain. Definitely not a great weekend at the coast, especially from, say, Cape Lookout southward. We do have the rain that's starting to push inland right right now, but we also have some very dry air in place, so we're not likely to see any rain in our viewing area until at least after sunset. The first spot to see it would likely be southern Sampson County, and that's around midnight. And then that pushes northward rapidly, and it's in place by the time most of us wake up on Saturday morning. You can see the yellow and orange color contours. A lot of times when we see that on the models, it's because we're looking at severe thunderstorms. They can often produce heavy rain. This is just heavy rain. No severe storms here. It is going to be breezy. It's going to be wet. It's going to be chilly. It's almost going to feel more like an early spring or a late fall kind of system than anything that we would see during the summer. Here's a look at Sunday. Watch what happens on Sunday. Walk through Sunday and you can see very little rain showing up. This is the driest model for Sunday that I can find. We still have a number of models showing some rain for Sunday, but all of them are beginning to lighten it up a little bit. So I did drop that chance of rain on Sunday back to 60%. And as we see new runs of the computer models this evening, CAT may be able to drop that a little bit lower. And of course, keep checking back all through the weekend for the updates that continue to come in. But Saturday, you know, it's a 90 to 100% chance, 61 degrees. We'll likely warm up a little bit on Sunday. But yeah, cool, wet, just a messy, breezy day on Saturday. Sunday's still gray, but we may have a few more dry periods than we'll see on Saturday. Weekend beach forecast not looking so good. Again, we're going to see very heavy rain. Our southern beaches, 4 to 6 inches. Our high temperatures only in the mid-70s. Again, as we get into Sunday and Monday, we might see some slight improvement, especially on Monday, but there could be a few afternoon storms. In the mountains, that rain is likely to arrive around midday Saturday. Sunday looks like the wettest day, and then it does begin to brighten up a little bit on Monday, but we'll still have the chance of some scattered showers. Here's a live look at Zebulon. Look at the flags out here for Memorial Day. Aren't they beautiful? You can see those really moving in the wind. It is already a breezy day today, and that will continue into tomorrow. It's 70 degrees right now, not likely to get much warmer than that. Our winds are gusting 20, 25 miles per hour. You see the white box there. Those are the wind gusts. That wind coming out of the northeast is chilly for us. And again, we'll continue to see those gusts through the afternoon at 20 to 25 miles per hour. We do, of course, have cool temperatures in our forecast for the weekend. By the time we get to the middle of next week, we do start to warm up and dry out.
Elizabeth, thank you. We'll get through this rainy weekend. Coming up on WRL News at 5 p.m., a local bakery is celebrating a perfect score streak.
5 News Side's Keely Arthur has that high number and a couple of other restaurants who scored low in this week's restaurant ratings.
And then tonight at 6, a Durham company is saving lives in Ukraine in an unusual way. They're producing blood vessels in a lab that are helping trauma patients in war zone hospitals. WRL's Durham reporter Sarah Kruger was invited to the facility to see how it works.
And still ahead this noon, Tesla and Ford are playing nice when Ford owners will gain access to thousands of superchargers.
Plus, the Buffalo Bills gained some extra skills this week at training camp. The lessons they learned that could prove to be a lifesaver. Tesla is opening its charging network to Ford customers in the United States. Ford owners will get access to more than 12,000 superchargers starting early next year with the use of an adapter. Eventually, Ford will adopt Tesla's charging port. Tesla CEO Elon Musk says its network should be supportive of sustainable transportation.
MoviePass is back with a new plan for fans of the big screen. The subscription-based movie ticketing service is under new ownership after filing for bankruptcy in 2020. Subscribers will be able to choose from four different plans with a price range starting at $10 a month. Each tier comes with a certain amount of credits subscribers can use at more than 4,000 movie theaters nationwide. Peak showtimes and popular movies will cost you more credits, and leftover credits can be rolled over to the next month. Maybe you can use some of those credits to watch Disney's live-action version of The Little Mermaid. It opens in theaters today. The movie stars Halle Bailey as Ariel and Melissa McCarthy as Ursula. Film experts say they expect it to make a big splash in the box office this holiday weekend. It is projected to bring in between $100 and $125 million.
If you're driving to your holiday destination and haven't hit the road yet, you're going to run into increased traffic. It's a price we all have to pay for the extended holiday weekend.
Plus, President Biden may turn to the Constitution to raise the debt ceiling. How the 14th Amendment could be used as a last resort.
First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shh. shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
It appears more Americans are leaving town for Memorial Day weekend. The TSA says yesterday it processed 2.6 million air travelers. That's the highest number of air travelers since Thanksgiving 2019.
And believe it or not, today is expected to be even busier. The highways are expected to be very busy as well. And NBC's Tom Costello is at Reagan National Airport, where the airline industry says it is ready for this big day.
Busy here. I just checked. They're averaging 4,000 passengers moving through the checkpoints an hour here at Reagan. That's a lot. Nationwide, we are expecting a very busy day indeed. The good news is we've got pretty good clear sky weather today to travel. For about 2.5 million people today will pass through the TSA checkpoints nationwide. That's about 50,000 flights scheduled for today. Listen, the FAA has opened up 169 of these high-altitude highways in the skies, trying to move flights along, also trying to reduce fuel consumption. In addition, and this is kind of interesting, the FAA coordinating with NASA and the Pentagon to reduce, if not completely scratch, rocket launches during high movement times for planes down in Florida, because those rocket launches can interfere, of course, with air traffic. Listen, speaking of Florida, we're watching volatile weather just off the East Coast. According to the FAA, so far the country's looking pretty good in terms of clear skies. On the roads, 37 million of us, most Americans, are going to be driving, and they're going to be paying about $3.57 a gallon for national unleaded. That's a pretty good price compared to a year ago when we were at $4.60 a gallon. This is, though, a big test for the airlines. It's why we continue to watch them, because it was a year ago when we had so many problems that began on Memorial Day, cascaded through the whole summer with many, many thousands of people stranded through the summer, misdirected luggage. So the airlines insist that they are ready for this summer, for your vacation. They've staffed up and they've upped their game. The test begins right now. Guys, back to you.
That was Tom Costello reporting. Increased travel on the roads also means more vehicle problems. AAA predicts it will rescue more than 483,000 stranded drivers across the country this weekend. The three most common reasons are flat tires, dead batteries, and folks getting locked out of their cars. Now, if you notice something is wrong while you're driving, safely pull over at the next exit or safe stopping point. And if you have to stop immediately, try to get as far off the road as possible. Turn on your hazard lights and remain in the vehicle. If you do have to get out for any reason, always watch for oncoming traffic.
Protesters plan to gather tonight to push back against North Carolina's new abortion law. The Fight the NC Abortion Ban protest begins at 7:30 tonight in Nash Square. It'll include speakers, followed by a march. GOP lawmakers recently voted to override Governor Roy Cooper's veto on the ban that limits abortions at 12 weeks. North Carolina's previous ban was 20 weeks. Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Wayne, Nash, and Orange counties.
City leaders in Goldsboro have been meeting to discuss a new budget proposal that comes with a higher property tax utility rate. If approved, the property tax rate would go up 4 cents. That means someone with a $400,000 house would pay an additional $160 in taxes each year. Water and sewer rates would go up 4%. Stormwater fees would increase 5%.
On Monday, the Joint Veterans Committee of Nash and Edgecombe Counties will hold its annual Memorial Day ceremony in Rocky Mount. The guest speaker is Thomas Newton. He is one of the few remaining Tuskegee Airmen of the 99th Fighter Squadron, the first black flying squadron. Now, service is Monday at 10 a.m. at the Veterans Memorial at Jack Lowry Park on North Church Street in Rocky Mount.
After 38 seasons as head coach of the UNC softball team, Donna Papa is retiring as head coach. Papa is a five-time ACC Coach of the Year. She led UNC to 5 ACC regular season championships. She's made 15 NCAA tournament appearances at Carolina. And she's in the Hall of Fame. A national search for Carolina's next head coach will begin immediately.
President Joe Biden and Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy have failed to reach a deal to raise the debt ceiling so far. Can the president raise it himself without Congress? Some Democrats are asking Biden to consider invoking the 14th Amendment, which has never been done before. Hallie Jackson looks at a provision that could make it possible.
every day, the U.S. gets closer and closer to running out of cash to pay its bills. And if the president and congressional leaders can't get to a deal to get those debts paid, there's this really historic and pretty controversial move the president could make.
I have been considering the 14th Amendment.
The president referring to a 150-year-old amendment put into place right after the Civil War. It's not overall related to finance. Its intention was to protect people who were previously enslaved. But there's this section inside the 14th Amendment saying the validity of the public debt of the United States shall not be questioned. That's important because now some experts think that phrase gives the president the ability to go around Congress to pay the country's bills, even though typically it's Congress that has the power of the purse.
I would hope that the president will take executive action if the House refuses to do its job.
It's not a slam dunk. Far from it.
It's legally questionable whether or not that's a viable strategy.
No president has ever tried to use the 14th Amendment to prevent a debt default. In other words, to make sure the U.S. does pay its bills.
The problem is it would have to be litigated.
And experts agree, saying if the president does try this, it probably will get tied up in court.
He's quite right that he would almost certainly be sued. And I think he is concerned that there would be uncertainty, that it would unsettle the markets.
But President Biden has made one thing clear.
Default is not an option. We will not default.
That was Hallie Jackson reporting. Secretary Yellen will testify before the House Committee on House Financial Committee on June 7th, which is nearly a week after the expected June 1st default deadline. It's not clear yet what lawmakers will question Yellen about, but several House Republicans have publicly questioned whether the secretary's timeline is legitimate or just an attempt from the Biden administration to accelerate a deal.
You can immerse yourself in Latinx art right here in Raleigh today. The Diamante Arts and Cultural Center is unveiling its De Colores exhibition. It runs through June 30th and will spotlight Latinx and Hispanic artists. The exhibit provides a platform for talented artists to share their unique perspectives. An opening reception will be held from 6 to 8 tonight, where you can meet the artists. Right now, local Nepali small business owners are taking part in a roundtable discussion in Cary to shine a light on their role in the nation's economy. The group includes U.S. Small Business Administration Regional Administrator Alan Thomas. ScienceX President Raj Bhandari will also help lead the event. Bhandari was recently named the SBA's National Exporter of the Year. This event is part of Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month.
Buffalo Bills understand better than most how important it is to know CPR, how it is now part of the players' training, inspired by DeMar Hamlin.
Plus, let's not forget the true meaning behind Memorial Day, ways you can honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice to protect our freedom to enjoy this long holiday weekend. Happening right now in the WREL Live Center. We are getting a firsthand look at a school bus crash between a school bus and a tanker truck. This happened yesterday in South Carolina. Take a look at this video right here. You're going to see the school bus approaching, and then you'll see the tanker truck coming. Watch as the school bus moves forward. The tanker truck comes down the road, and there is the impact. Just a horrific crash. Multiple students were hospitalized after this. Now, here's the thing. South Carolina Highway Patrol saying 10 children were transported to the hospital. Meanwhile, Lexington Medical Center are saying 17 children and one adult arrived at the hospital. They say they are all in stable condition, but just a really, really scary situation there in Lexington County, South Carolina. The bus had 36 students on it. South Carolina Highway Patrol says they are investigating this incident.
That's horrible to see. Buffalo Bills players took CPR training this week as one of their star players, DeMar Hamlin, continues his recovery from cardiac arrest. The Bills posted a video from the training at the team facility. Several organizations, including the Buffalo Black Nurses Association and the American Heart Association, all teamed up to help the players and coaching staff learn CPR. The team also learned how to use an AED, commonly known as an automated external defibrillator, to help to save those lives.
President Biden and the First Lady will celebrate the women and men basketball teams of the 2023 NCAA championship season. The NCAA basketball champions will visit the White House today at 2. President Joe Biden will host the Louisiana State University ladies first, and then later he will welcome the University of Connecticut's men's team. After the celebration, the president will head to Camp David for the Memorial Day weekend.
Veterans all across the country are calling attention to the true meaning behind Memorial Day. Up next, how you can honor those who sacrificed their lives for our freedom.
Plus, the commencement speaker at what university would probably make some of us want to go back in time. How some lucky graduates received a crash course on giving.
For many Americans, a long Memorial Day weekend is full of rest and relaxation.
But veterans groups across the country hope the excitement for the unofficial start of summer does not distract people from the importance and the true meaning behind the holiday. Kevin Cork spoke with the co-founder of a military family research group who shares a special message.
Memorial Day is often referred to as the unofficial start of summer. With beach parties and barbecues now many people's norms for the long holiday weekend. But military support groups say people shouldn't lose sight of the true meaning behind Memorial Day.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars.
Reminding everyone that the price of freedom isn't free.
We commemorate veterans who have given their lives on behalf of our country.
Shelley McDermott Wadsworth is the director and co-founder of the Military Family Research Institute at Purdue University. Besides honoring fallen service members, she says it's critical we also keep their families in our hearts and minds.
Grandparents, aunts and uncles served, but there are also parents, sisters, brothers, children, and others who have experienced the death of a veteran much more recently.
And while communities across the country will be holding Memorial Day parades, there's a large variety of other ways you can pay your respects.
We can display or help to place flags in cemeteries where veterans are buried. We can donate to organizations that support veterans and veteran memorials.
That was Kevin Cork reporting. Originally called Decoration Day, the holiday was actually created in the aftermath of the Civil War. It was renamed Memorial Day in 1971, and it is a day dedicated to the fallen soldiers, a somber holiday.
No question. And it's coming up Monday, so we've got a couple days between there. But Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center, I was talking with a friend in Wilmington this morning, and he's seeing what you're seeing there on radar. It's raining there.
It is. It is coming down. They could see as much as 4 to 6 inches of rain in the Wilmington area, and most of that will end up being today. You can see all that heavy rain pushing ahead of the low-pressure system. That low is headed toward Wilmington, and it's going to drift up into North Carolina and fall apart, so it's not going to move out. So that means it's just going to hang around our area for really the entire weekend. We take a look at Futurecast, and this is a look at the big view, the big picture, and you can see as we take a look at what's happening as we get through Saturday, as we get into the early part of the day, we're going to see that rain moving on in, and that rain's going to be with us for most of the day on Saturday, and a lot of that will end up being fairly heavy. We move into Sunday, and we still have the potential for some scattered showers, but the rainfall is not likely to be as heavy, and then on Monday, it continues to dissipate a bit. So watching the weekend, of course, again, let's watch that low as it moves up the coast as we get into Saturday. Of course, you can see that scattered rain, and into Sunday, it begins to taper off a little bit, but we're still going to end up with some scattered showers on Sunday and likely on Monday. It's just that tomorrow will be the day that we see the heaviest rain out of the system. Here's a look at our high-resolution run of Futurecast, and you can see that rain starting to creep toward us as we get into this evening. We're not likely to see much of that rain in our viewing area, though, until late tonight, early tomorrow. The yellow areas are where the rain is likely to be heavy, and we're going to see waves of that. This is 5 p.m., maybe a quick break here or there, but we'll continue to see these waves of rain really all night, Saturday night. And it does begin to ease up a little bit on Sunday. This is a little bit more aggressive with tapering off the rain, but I do feel like we'll have less rain on Sunday, but still some scattered showers. This is a look at our potential rainfall during the day on Saturday. We could easily end up with anywhere from 1.5 to 2 inches. You see the purple areas, that's going to be approaching 2 inches, a good bit of the viewing area. We'll see some of that as we get into Sunday and Monday. We'll add to that. So by the time the weekend is over, we could see 2.5 inches or maybe even a bit more than that in some places. So we do have that medium risk for flooding on Saturday with the potential for 2 inches of rain. We also have a small chance that this could have some tropical characteristics. It's not going to become a tropical system by any means, but it is going to bring strong winds along the coast. Of course, we talked about the heavy rain that we'll see that they'll see there. Strong, dangerous rip currents and beach erosion all possible along the coast, especially from Cape Hatteras southward. So we do have a WRL weather alert day in effect for Saturday. That's been the case for the last couple of days. A chilly, wet, windy day, 61 degrees, the high temperature on Saturday. That 61 is very close to the all-time coolest high temperature on that date. Winds will be gusting up to 35 miles per hour. The wind starts to back off a little bit, and so does our rain on Sunday, but we're still looking at some scattered showers, a high of 71, and then 76 on Monday. Again, a better chance of late day showers and thunderstorms on Monday. We could still see some rain on Tuesday, maybe Wednesday and Thursday, before we really begin to dry out and warm up to 85 degrees. I know there are plenty of people that would rather see that 85 over the weekend. Oh, that moment of joy that will just warm your heart. More of the pure excitement after Serena and her husband tell their daughter she's going to be a big sister.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we are following for you today. A Knightdale police officer accidentally shot and killed a Wake County Sheriff's canine officer. Knightdale officer stopped the suspect along North Smithfield Road. This was around 12:30 this morning. The police chief says a passenger from the car ran into the nearby woods. Police requested help from the sheriff's office. Canine Santos and his handler were tracking the suspect when the officer accidentally fired a shot, hitting the dog.
The Durham County Courthouse is back open after police investigated a bomb threat. 911 communications received the threat just before 9:30 this morning. Police had the building evacuated, blocked off nearby streets while a canine searched the building. Authorities found no explosive and they've reopened the area.
More people are traveling this weekend. Most of them will be on the road, but Gas Buddy is not expected to see a surge in gas prices. According to AAA, the average price of gas in the state is $3.30 a gallon. The worst time to be out on the roads today, this afternoon from 3 to 6.
2,000 college graduates are getting a crash course on the principle of giving.
The greatest choice we've had in our life has been the gift of giving. So each of you is getting $1,000 cash.
Billionaire Rob Hale served as the commencement speaker for the University of Massachusetts Boston. During his speech, he said his greatest joy in life has been the gift of giving. So he opened his wallet and paid it forward. Each student accepted their diploma and received two envelopes with $500 in each. Hale told the students to keep one envelope and donate the other $500 to someone or an organization in need.
Serena Williams and her husband, Alexis Ohanian, are sharing video of how they broke the pregnancy news to their daughter, Olympia. Let's just say somebody was a little excited.
We went to the doctor, and it turns out I'm not getting fat, but I have a baby in my belly.
Are you kidding me?
No.
You're going to be a big sister.
So excited. The tennis legend shared this video on her YouTube channel. Williams reminded Olympia of all her praying for a sibling. Olympia can be heard yelling, "I'm so excited," along with some joyful screaming there. At one point, she jumped up and ran, apparently slipping, and then you hear her shout, "I'm okay."
So exciting. Our pet of the day comes to us from the SPCA of Wake County. Jigsaw is an 8-year-old senior dog weighing 55 pounds. He'll drop everything for head scratches or a treat. You can get more information on him at spcawake.org. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Have a safe, meaningful holiday.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.